Hi, I'm Teiko.
And I'm Gabrielle.
And we are the Baileys.
Join us as we talk about staying in love while raising kids,
building a business, and going where Jesus sends us.
Yeah, this was supposed to be episode of how Teiko became a missionary, but it's how we became missionaries. Before we jump into that, definitely introductions. We're Teiko and Gabrielle Bailey. We've been married for 5 years. We have 2 boys under the age of 2.
Yeah,
which is crazy. We are full-time missionaries. Mm-hmm. Teiko's going to share about that right now, how he mm-hmm. became one. But yeah, we've been missionaries for over 10 years. 5 years.
Whoa,
or five going
long?
On 6 years as a family.
I feel like I'm like getting old.
Well, if it's 10 years, well, over 10 years, because more. Yeah. So we've been full-time missionaries for over 10 years, and we're Jamaicans, but now we're based in the land of Aloha.
That is Hawaii.
Yeah, Hawaii. Yeah, so, yeah, we're talking about how Teiko became a missionary. Tell us, did you think you wanted to be a missionary?
Oh my gosh. When you were growing up? That was like not even on my bucket list
exactly.
of things to do.
Mine either, but mine is a different episode.
Let's see, how did this even start? I went to school to study music.
Yeah, I know, it's so
music and education, which unfortunately I'm not really doing much
but
in
you know
any
what,
of those
though,
areas right
every
now.
Every single mission trip that we've done, everybody thinks like, oh, are you a Marley? I mean, you don't look like a Marley, but
well,
they
when
hear.
When I'm very bearded.
They hear and they're
when
like.
When I'm very bearded,
So your singing does get us into different
it
places.
It does. And I mean, my music pops out every once in a while.
Yeah.
Where necessary.
Yeah. So you studied music.
Yeah.
And that's university.
Yeah.
Okay. After university. Were you a Christian growing up?
Well, I grew up in a non-Christian family.
Mm-hmm.
And my eldest sister, hey Tenny, she was the one who became the first Christian in the family. And, little by little, others of us in the family became Christians. We're still not all there yet, but we're slowly getting there.
And it's a huge
family. We still have
family.
Some more work to
oh,
do.
Oh, my word.
But she was the first one who became a Christian. And then, I think it was one day when I was about 13 or something like that, there was a open-air crusade, as we would call it in Jamaica.
Yeah.
And
if you know open-air crusades, you know open-air
like
crusades.
It's huge. And if I remember correctly, it was at National Heroes Circle. Reinhard Bonnke.
Oh,
yeah,
wow, yeah.
This is like, for those of you who know Reinhard Bonnke, or for those of you who are from Germany, he's German, and he's like this huge evangelist. Who just travels around the world, places like Africa. I mean, the man draws crowds, and like he's really anointed. The power of God is on him.
So he was there.
Mm-hmm. It was at age 13, and they had like an altar call, and mm-hmm. you know, did the prayer thing if you want to know Jesus. And I just like, I want to know
and
Jesus.
And that was it.
And that was it. Age 13, and boom, I was just like in it, and went to church, same church my sister went to, and started going to the new converts classes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from there, I just kept on going to church with her and her friends. And some of my neighbors, one specific neighbor, I used to go to church with them. Big up to my friend Mark, Mark White. They were very influential in my life at the time. And, you know, Jamaica is considered as a Christian country.
Even though we aren't really
Christian
to some extent.
We're Christian based in our thinking.
We have the most churches, you know, per square mile. Is that still the case? I think so.
So, you know, in Jamaica you're expected to go to church like Christmas, Easter, mm-hmm. those kind of holiday things when your parents or your grandparents are like, you have to go to church because you need God's blessing kind of thing. So, you know, my family was kind of like that.
So that's when you got saved.
That's
13. Got saved, then you went to study music. After music, what happened?
After
because
music,
when you got saved, were you thinking, oh, I'm gonna be a missionary?
Oh, no.
Because
so,
you did music.
So my sister did a course called DTS, Discipleship Training School.
Right.
And that's in an organization called Youth with a Mission,
right.
YWAM.
Mm-hmm. That's the mission organization that we work
with. So, yeah, we work with them now.
Yeah.
But at the time, like, neither my family or myself fully understood the concept of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd gone to some summer camps. So I kind of knew a little bit about it before.
Right.
And then one of the leaders in the camp, she knew me. She knew my sister.
Mm-hmm.
Or several of them, I should say. Yeah. And I think they influenced me in doing a DTS course, the Discipleship Training School, which is 6 months. And I was like, in my mind, I was like, hell no, I don't want to do this. I have no interest in doing it. Well, actually, I thought, you know, I was already going to church. I knew who the Lord was.
Right.
Back in the days when I used to go to Word of Life,
mm-hmm.
That was the time of the prophetic movement. And mm-hmm. like, the prophetic movement was huge in Jamaica back in the days.
Right.
Like, maybe I would say maybe around a certain circle of churches and stuff like that in Kingston. But yeah, so I was like, I know God already, all this kind of thing. Why do I need to do a discipleship training school?
Right. And so the 6 months context for people.
Yeah.
The 6 months.
It's 3 months of a lecture phase and then mm-hmm. 3 months you do an outreach in a different country. So pretty much practicing what you've learned.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, from there, one of my leaders during the DTS, or actually at the end of the DTS, she said to me, hey, would you be interested in joining as a staff? And I thought in my head, you must be crazy.
Oh,
like,
word.
I don't want to do this thing forever. Like, I had my plans. One of the things I enjoyed doing was working with Walter Elmore,
mm-hmm.
who does the Jazz and Blues Festival mm-hmm. in Jamaica. And that had just kind of started a little bit after. And I was like, I don't want to give up this. This is like, this is what I've been waiting to do, you know, work with big events and stuff like that. But I went to Philadelphia to visit a family member for about 2 months mm-hmm. after the DTS. And I was just praying and asking the Lord, what's the next step?
Mm-hmm.
And the thought of coming back to serving with YWAM, I think, kept coming back to mind. Mm-hmm. I had another option to do some work in the US, but I was like, the thought of coming back to do ministry work was plaguing my mind. It's maybe the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
And it's just like the Lord was really kind of wooing me
nudging
in.
Nudging your heart.
Yeah,
kind of
nudging. And so I think that's how it kind of started. Mm-hmm. After my time in the US, I came back to Jamaica and I felt like, you know what, this is what I'm going to do. I was a little bit scared of making that choice because, so my dad, he has his own business and he always wanted a family business.
And he has enough people to run a business.
And yeah, you know, so like, you're going to do ministry work, not do music, and you're not going to work in your dad's business. What are you thinking?
Exactly.
And so I couldn't really tell my dad what I was going to do.
Because he isn't a Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my word.
I couldn't really tell my dad what I was going to do, even though I was out the house and everything. But make a long story short, my dad wouldn't have approved at the time.
At the time.
At the time, yeah.
How do you think he feels? No.
Does he
fully understand? No.
I don't think he fully understands, but he understands enough because he's visited me one or two times when I was in Jamaica
mm-hmm.
working and have seen some of the work and understood a little bit more. But I think when I started going to Africa, he's a little bit more interested because my dad can be very Afrocentric.
I get you. That's so true. That is so true. So the Africa definitely just walking in my footsteps.
So yeah, by now he has caught on a little bit more mm-hmm. to it. Not there 100%, but definitely more than when I started.
Oh, your story is a lot simpler than I thought it would be.
Or
did you just like...
I don't know. Maybe I cut out some other pieces.
Yeah, it's a lot simpler.
What else you want to know?
No, I think that's it. Like, so you did that, and then I think we probably should share the Sierra Leone story mm-hmm. on its own.
Yeah.
I could probably just share mine.
Go for it.
I grew up in a Christian family.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this isn't a new episode, but I'll just jump
in.
It was supposed to be a new episode. Yeah. But, yeah, I grew up in a Christian family. I'm the only girl of four. So I have three brothers.
Yeah,
I'm
the only princess girl in the house.
Yeah, right. Maybe the tomboy at the time. My parents did send me, well, my mom passed away when I was young. So yeah. My dad, he sent me to an all-girls school because I really needed the help. Mm-hmm. I needed the help to be feminine.
Too many boys in the house.
I think so. So, yeah, grew up in a Christian family. I got saved when I was 10. You know, I got to a really, like, strong Baptist church. Exactly. Very traditional. He's been there. He's
gotta,
like,
give it to the Baptist. They know the Bible.
And I'm telling you, our faith journeys are so different that I would start out in a hymn at the random time.
And I have
time.
No clue what this hymn is about. And she always thinks I know them.
That's so true.
And I don't.
So maybe our one faith or two. Story is so different. So yeah, I grew up in a very traditional Baptist church. I went to a boarding school.
Yeah.
So we also had very traditional, like, I guess, Christian background there as well. But then, yeah, when I was in high school, after my mom passed away, I think the pressure in high school, because she had taught at the high school I was going to. So I think the pressure of the teachers and other people there knowing her was just so much on me that I really was rebellious when it came to, like, ICF, inter-school Christian fellowship. I was just not going to ICF on Fridays because that was what they expected. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, Christian Gabby, she's going to go.
Yeah.
But I was like, no, I want to live my own life.
Come on.
You guys keep putting me in her shadow. I'm not going. And so I wouldn't go to ICF on Fridays. And when I had the chance, I wouldn't go to the Baptist church on Sundays. Mm-hmm. And I was at high school.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to go to, like, the Methodist or different churches.
Okay.
And I think at that point, it was just this sort of searching kind of journey. Like, I know my faith in this general context. I know it's in, like, church or with my family. I know my mom's faith or my parents' faith. Mm-hmm. What about my own?
Yeah.
And so after high school, a friend of mine, her mom told me about YWAM. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, they have this camp going on for 3 weeks.
Whoa.
Which at the time was just so long for a summer camp. Because every summer camp is a week long.
Yeah.
So it's 3 weeks, and she wanted me to sign up to go so that her daughter would go.
Okay, so she wanted company.
Right.
It's really for the support.
And I think it was more like how to sell the idea to her daughter.
Yeah.
So I eventually, you know, told my dad about it, and I ended up going to this camp for 3 weeks, and then the friend didn't come.
Oh, wow.
So here I was in this place I didn't know about before at all for 3 weeks with no friends. Whoa. And it was so life-changing. It was, I think, the best thing that needed to happen for me, because the Lord knew I needed to be in a place without people I knew so that I could focus and decide if this was something I wanted to pursue. Not necessarily missions, but my faith.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did I want to really dig into my faith? Did I want to pursue it? Did I want to own it? That sort of thing. So I did that for 3 weeks, and then went back to like sixth form high school, went back to school.
Yeah.
And at the end, when I was getting ready to go to college, that's when I, you know, the thought kept coming back to me, like, oh, let's do the next step, do our DTS, the discipleship training school. And so, yeah, that was kind of like, oh, everybody usually leaves high school and then does college.
Yeah.
Me going to do our DTS 6 months.
Yeah.
Exactly. And we're not really Americans. We don't take gap years.
Exactly. You go straight into university.
So I don't know if people thought I was having, like, some sort of identity crisis or whatever. But I ended up doing the DTS. Shout out to my dad, because, you know, in hindsight, I'm like, wow, I don't know how he had the courage to do it, you know. So I did that DTS, and 3 months learning, and then I went to West Africa, which was, that was great.
Was it a culture shock for you?
It was a culture shock in some senses. Like, we had to wear long skirts. I kind of felt like I understood the place because of, I guess, the Jamaican background.
Mm-hmm.
And Pato was very helpful. Like, knowing Pato, I could pick up some things there.
Yeah.
But I remember at the end of the 3 months there, I was just like, oh, this isn't so bad. Like, oh, no, I know what missionaries do. Like, this isn't, it's not like And no offense to nuns, but it's not like I'm a nun.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was just like, oh, this is what they do. And so I think at the end of that outreach, I was just like, oh, I could do this. And it wasn't like a, I'm going to do this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think my story into how I became a missionary was just being obedient with one step after the next. So mm-hmm. I did the DTS, went to Africa, came back home, and it was like, okay, Holy Spirit, what do I do next? What do I do? What is the next thing that you have for me, Lord?
Can I jump in on that?
Yeah.
You know, this was one key part in the story that I think I left out, was during my time in the DTS,
mm-hmm.
what influenced me a lot in making the decision to go back was I could hear God's voice.
Me too.
I'm trying to find the best way to say that so people can understand.
Right, so it doesn't sound spooky.
Before, you know, going to church, you know about Jesus, you read the Bible, that sort of thing. You know about God. But I didn't know that you could literally pray, wait, and hear God's voice.
Right, and it sounds crazy because as a Christian, there are some people who'd be like, how can you not know that? But I think it was just how they made it practical.
Yeah.
Like, follow these steps and you can learn to hear God's voice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's something you can practice doing and mm-hmm. you can learn to hear His voice.
Yeah.
So I think that's, yeah.
Yeah.
They made it practical.
And I think because I experienced that during the DTS on several occasions with several, I'd say, key decisions I had to make
mm-hmm.
and how it kind of just... whatever I heard from the Lord, I wrote it out or I acted
Me
on
too.
That.
Exactly.
And then I saw like, whoa, this thing works. And then reading again about different men in the Bible, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, these mm-hmm. kind of people, and seeing some of the faithful steps that they took and how God came through for them, I felt like some of those things were happening for me at the time,
right.
which reinforced more about who Jesus was. It wasn't just a God of the Bible
right.
anymore.
Right.
It was just this God that I was now seeing in reality
right.
and walking with.
Which I think, now that I think about it, I don't think there was any point in my journey where I was like, yes, I'm going to become a missionary.
Mm-hmm.
It was... I did Africa and then I was just like, okay, well, what's the next thing?
Mm-hmm.
I did that whole thing again, praying and waiting. And then I went to India and I just kept doing that.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's been any point where I went like, oh, I think I'm going to be a missionary right now.
Yes.
It just happened because I kept praying and like, well, what's the next thing?
The pieces started coming together.
Right, right.
So yeah, I think that was a key point for me where that made a huge, that was a huge part of my decision
mm-hmm.
why I chose to come back, because mm-hmm. I was like, okay, if God can do these things for men in the Bible,
and the
why
fact
couldn't
that
he do it for
you.
Me, you know,
right?
So
we became missionaries, and you know, I absolutely don't regret it. I've been doing this five years with you, so that was probably like 3 or 4 years before, so close to 10 years for me. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't regret it at all.
Yeah.
I ended up doing my degree while I was still in missions when we got married.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been, there have been difficult times, but it has been a rewarding journey overall, wouldn't you say?
It has been very rewarding. I think
the
when
people
you,
seeing the video know that he was playing with Kavika.
When you share with people the gospel and see their lives being slowly transformed.
Yeah.
And when I say share the gospel, it's in many different ways. It's in speaking to them directly, doing acts of service,
mm-hmm.
Different types of mercy ministry work. Mercy ministry meaning like building a house, bringing in medical supplies, different stuff like that. Because we still do some of that in West Africa, in Sierra Leone. Those things, when you understand how the Bible transforms a nation, a community, a society, a people group, I don't think you can turn back on that.
And I think that's the key component. We had the experience of learning and then seeing it in action.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the powerful part. Learning to hear God's voice and seeing it in action.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sold.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, this was supposed to be episode of how Tika became a missionary, but it's how we became missionaries.
And if you're out there and you're like in this place of like, you know what, I really want to do something like this, but I don't know how.
Yeah.
Send us a message. We'd love to talk to you some more.
Absolutely.
Because I know some people are afraid or some people are scared of like, transitioning into something like that.
And you can find our website, wearethebaileys.org.
Yeah.
We talk about it there as well. And yeah, send us, I don't know if you want to do it in comments or just messages with other questions that you might have so we can answer those.
I would say life is more than just getting a degree at university. Because a lot of us have degrees, but we still don't have a sense of what our purpose is.
Right.
Like, why am I created? What's the purpose?
And
why
the
I'm
truth
here on
is,
Earth?
You can get a degree just like everybody else, but because you know your purpose, that degree comes alive.
Definitely.
And so, yeah, just we don't want people to miss what they've been put on Earth to do.
Yeah. All right. Take it easy, guys. See you next time.
Bye.